We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Do me a favor, pass your prayer cards to the inside aisles. Team members are going to go out and take time to pray over the concerns that you've lifted up. Want to dismiss the youth at this time too, and then if there's a resource card and you've had opportunity to fill that out, you can pass that in. And if you haven't had a time to fill that out, when you leave tonight, there's a little box out there in the foyer. It's simply called a love offering box. You can put your resource card in there. We'll make sure that prayers are prayed for, that you get the Revive magazine that you've been looking for. If you have your book with you tonight, if you open up to page 14, it's the session that we're going to be dealing with, simply entitled Poured Out. And really, what God desires from us, His children, is that we pour ourselves out into the lives of others in such a way that we are His representatives on this earth, living in a manner that glorifies Him, that honors Him. Say, why, Ryan? Because God refreshes us through meaningful relationships. We are to have a meaningful relationship with Him. He has a meaningful relationship with us. We have meaningful relationships with others. And if we don't have that meaningful relationship with Him, as Luke said, the author of love, then we're really not going to be able to love others as God intends us to love Him. Again, look at the verse behind me on the screen, Jeremiah 31:3. I just recited it a moment ago. I have loved you. This translation is a little different. I like this. I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with an unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. It's as if that God has been wooing us, pursuing us. And I don't say that lightly, and I actually do believe that with all of my heart. God pursued me through a young man named Martin Rosenthal. Somebody came to me, I think it was last night or the night before, and said, do you happen to know a family by the name of Rosenthal? And I said, I certainly do. You mean Marv Rosenthal? I said, absolutely. I know Marv Rosenthal and Stan Rosenthal and Leonard Rosenthal and Marion Rosenthal. And I said, let me tell you how I know them. Because God used that entire family to reach me. God was pursuing me through them. They head up a ministry specifically ministering to Jews called Zion's Hope. And I was being pursued by God through Martin, who was an upperclassman. I was a freshman in school. He was a senior in school. On the scale of life in school, scummy freshmen never have anything to do with upperclassmen. And this guy just began to love me. He had a Camaro. I thought that was pretty cool. Camaro had Papa Smurf hanging from the rearview mirror back in the day. Had the fuzzy seat covers. He used to take and drive me around town, and we'd go play tennis, and we'd go out to eat, and he took me to a concert to a group called the Imperials. Never heard of the Imperials. Never went to a concert before. Heard a song. Listen to the Trumpets of Jesus. One day, sitting in that car in a church parking lot, he asked me a question. Was God pursuing me through his mouth? He said, Ryan, if you were to die, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Nobody had ever, up to that point in time, asked me that question. We have to be careful about making assumptions that people have heard the gospel. We need to be bold enough to ask people a serious question in relationship to their eternal destination. I said, I don't know where I'd go if I were to die. And I had been hearing about the gospel, but once again, he just lovingly spoke to me. It was God pursuing me through him. And that night, with Papa Smurf hanging from the rearview mirror as a witness, the church steeple in the background, the Imperials playing on the radio, I prayed to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. I experienced a deeper love. Some of you have grown up and maybe you've never experienced love. Maybe you're in a relationship right now and you don't even have the comprehension of what love is because it's not been expressed to you through human hands and human heart and human mind. That was my dad. My dad grew up as a Depression-era child, the youngest of five. The sibling right above him had died, so my grandmother would tie him to a tree like a dog so he wouldn't be able to get away and die in a drain that ran behind the house as his sibling did. My dad didn't know love going up. And yet my dad, as a lost man, not knowing love, married my mom, and one of the things that he wanted to do was that he wanted to create a community called a family that love could be expressed. Well, that was just amped up when he became a believer in Christ. And he was one of the greatest men that I ever saw love. And he poured himself out. You know, it's easy to pour yourself out and love people that love you, isn't it? But what about pouring yourself out and loving people that don't love you? What's needed then? Well, what we need to do is we need to have an overflow of God's love, and that's coming through his Spirit that resides in us. And that's why last night it was so important that we talk about being filled with the Spirit. Loving others is an overflow of God's love in our own lives. If you have your Bibles, again, just turn with me, please. I don't want you to miss out. I believe that your Bibles ought to be well-worn maps. The objective is not to end life with that beautiful gold band still intact around the outer perimeter of your Bible. Your Bible should be stained with tears and smudges and notes. And I know we live in a day and age of technology, so maybe you have an electronic version. But there's something to be said about opening up the Scripture and holding it in your hands and recognizing that this is a love letter from God, and God is wanting to speak to you through his words. Look at what is given to us by way of a word. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And we love because he first loved us. You see, the true concept of love does not exist apart from God. It's a false concept of God. We love because God first loved us. He's continuously pursuing us. There's no exemption clauses here. We are to love and love and love, and we have the capacity to love those who love us and those who don't love us, because God has given us that capacity through his Spirit. And we want to honor him in obedience. You see, in essence, we love others in obedience to God's command. It's expressed throughout the Word. Ephesians tells husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for her. This is not a one-time happening. It is an ongoing happening. God, help me love my wife. God, help me love my wife. God, help me learn how to love my wife better. God, help me to be an understanding husband, because right now I don't really want to love her. God, she didn't meet my expectation. God, she didn't do what I wanted her to do. God, she didn't say what I expected her to say. God, I don't know if I really like her right now. Do I have to love her because I don't like her? My mom used to tell me, honey, I want you to know something. I don't like you right now. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what you're saying. I love you, but I just don't like you. Well, how can you not like me and love me? Well, because I'm commanded to love you. There's truth to that. Husbands, when people look at you, granddads, great-granddads, at least some of you look like you could be great-granddads. When your children look at you and your grandchildren look at you and your great-grandchildren look at you, do they look at you in such a way that they really believe that you love the woman that you're with? My dad had a very poor example of a father. My dad was a poor example of being a husband. I said earlier, womanizer, liar, thief, cheat, degenerate, immoral, godless person, adulterer. That's all true of my dad before he was a believer in Christ. Afterwards, though, new creation, spirit in him. He loved my mom. He loved my mom through multiple hospital stays, through back surgeries, through cancer, through the losing of a breast. I saw what it meant to be a man, to love when not everything's going right. Pastor that Luke and I had the privilege of being with not far from here, his wife was on a missions trip with him in China. She wasn't feeling well, a little disoriented, rather young woman. Thought it might have been something that she had eaten one night there in the hotel room. She's going to draw a bath. She steps into the bathroom, turns the water on, comes out. She's holding her bra in her hand. And she says to him, "What is this for?" What? Went back into the bathroom because the water was running, turned the water off, came back out, and she's collapsed on the floor. She had a brain aneurysm. From that point on, she was in a vegetative state for the next 3 decades. And he loved her. Cared for her. People said, divorce her. Let the system take care of her. I said, no. There was no reciprocation. It's not like he could receive any kind words of encouragement. It's not like he could receive any sort of physical touch or any satisfaction in the realm of physical intimacy between a husband and wife. It's not like the job was shared. He still had to continue to pastor and serve and take care of. Isn't that like Jesus? When we don't fulfill our end of the commitment, for whatever the reason is, he's still fulfilling his end of the commitment. When Luke and I met him, we didn't know this about him. As a matter of fact, we noticed something on the contrary. This guy was real giddy, and I looked at him, and I said to him in a staff meeting, "What are you, on your honeymoon?" And he looked, and he turned to Luke and I and said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I am." He's in his 80s. "What do you mean you're on your honeymoon?" "Well, I got married 2 years ago, and I've been on a honeymoon ever since." And God gave him a new wife. And boy, it's as if that wife was able to make up for all those years. Pastor Roy. Husbands, are you showing your kids what it means to love your wife? Scripture goes on to say in Titus, teach the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Let me ask you a question, ladies. As you like the fact that I speak to the men, how are you doing in loving your husband? How are you doing in loving your children? I know, you feel like I do some days, those beautiful, cute, manipulative, conniving, finagling little rugrats. Suck the life right out of you. That's why you need the Spirit. Look, you could be sitting here, maybe you haven't done good. Don't dwell on the past. What are you doing about today and tomorrow? There's not a single person in this room who hasn't failed. Let's just come to an agreement on that. God wants us to understand that we failed, put a period at the end of it. Satan wants us to see ourselves as failures, though, failing. No, you're not a failure, and you're not failing as long as you have the Spirit within you and you choose to ask God by your spirit, by His Spirit to love those that He's given you. Where are you at? You loving those kids? In John chapter 15, again, we're reminded, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. This I command you, that you love one another. You getting a theme here? Old Testament? New Testament? See, why would anybody want to be a part of a community called a family when in the context of this community called a family, there's no love? I've been in churches where I have heard people say something like this, it will be a cold day in hell before I forgive so-and-so. Excuse me? Coming from the mouth of the matriarch? Also sometimes referred to as the kitchen Nazi? Harboring a grudge because somebody came into her kitchen? I'm sorry, did you shed your blood for that kitchen? Last time I recognized the church as Jesus' church, that means that kitchen too. And because it was going down the way that you did it, you really hardened your heart towards that person and you were not willing to receive them? There are family members who are squabbling with family members. Unfair distribution of assets. You've abandoned your responsibility. Now I'm having to be a parent a second or a third time over. Somebody is short-changed you on the assets. 07 and 08 wasn't good. You lost your money. You have to go back to work. I'm not going to forgive that person. I'm not going to love that person. Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what you and I did to Jesus? That crucifixion upon that cross was for you and for me, not just what took place there 2,000 years ago. When revival is evident, there is a love. Forgiveness accompanies that love. Your children hear you speak nothing about your husband or your wife in relationship to anything good because they left you and you're divorced. You're poisoning them. Because you've been hurt. Hurt people. Hurt people. I've sat down from parents who haven't talked to their kids in years. Falling out between one set of parents and a child, the child left. Honey, wasn't it like in Ohio, Mansfield, 2 decades, the child had been gone. God did a work in her heart. She doesn't even know where mom and dad live now. Only to find out that God orchestrated that mom and dad live right down the road. Knock on the door. Mom opens up the door, tears streaming down her cheek. Can I come in? Yeah, honey. Mom's saying, you're not going to believe this. I was praying for you. I know, Mom. Would you forgive me? Mom, I got to ask Dad to forgive me. Where's Dad? Honey, he doesn't live here anymore. He's in a nursing home. Can we go see him? Todd, I'm not exaggerating. Walks into the nursing home. Dad is not coherent. He hears her voice. He opens his eyes. She speaks to him and holds his hand. Would you forgive me, Daddy? I forgive you. Went back into his vegetative state. We all want to see ourselves as better lovers than what we really are, but the truth is this. Someone once told me, you're not as good as you think you are. You're not as bad as some say you are. You're just somewhere in the middle. Love is a commandment that is given to us by God. We get mad at a nation. Think back to 9/11. Think back to a people group different than yours who attacked our country. I think back to my own race of people. I think back to the Germans and to the Nazis. We get mad and we fail to love. We get mad at God when God takes something from us, our health, a loved one, and we don't trust and we don't love. Well, how's that going for you? Does it make you feel any better? Because you know what hurt does? It creates bitterness within us. And bitterness destroys the vessel that holds it. And one of the greatest things that is plaguing the church today that causes them to be unloving is unresolved hurt that has nestled itself into our minds and our hearts and become a bitter pill that we've swallowed. Love. My sister-in-law, Marcia, she has been in my family since I was 7 years old. So that's been 42 years. That means I'm 49 years of age. She forgave her husband, my brother, for 3 adulterous affairs. They're not married any longer. She still asks about them. She still prays for him. She still loves him. What a model she's been to me. What a model she's been to her children. What a model she's been in the community. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45 says this: You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Why? So that they may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Do you love like that? A friend of mine by the name of Janice shares a story of her own life. How one day her husband was home. An intruder entered the home not knowing that he was home. In a moment of panic, pulled out a gun, killed her husband. He was apprehended. trial took place, found guilty, incarcerated. Janice, recognizing that a bitter seed was rooted deep within her, was beginning to lose life by way of joy. Not wanting to become a miserable person, she began to cry out to God, "How do I deal with this? What do I do with this?" Basically, God said, "Janice, go to that prison. Forgive that man." Janice went off to that prison, had a meeting with that man, extended forgiveness to that man, and became a conduit of love to that man for Jesus to flow through. Do you understand that you are a conduit? Have you heard me use that phrase multiple times tonight? You're a channel. I want to be careful how to say that, because that could be taken in a mystical way, and I'm not talking about in a mystical way. You are the hands, the feet, the mouth. You are a living expression of a holy God filled with His Holy Spirit on a journey every day that you are brought into the presence of others. Sometimes you're brought into the presence of others to receive something by way of their love to you. Encouragement, exhortation, help, comfort. But it's also true that you are a conduit, being an expression of love to meet the needs of others, even your enemies. Thus says the word of the Lord. Now, either we believe it or we don't. If you believe it and you're not living it, then ask God to help you. But don't just put it behind you. God does not bless disobedience. And right now, I'm putting y'all in a very vicarious situation, because the Scripture says, "To him who has an ear, let him hear what the Word of God has to say." And now that you've heard, you are without excuse. And so therefore, since you are without excuse, you will be doing one of two things. You will either be obeying, or you will just delay your obedience, right? That's a nice way of saying this. You'll disobey. God doesn't bless disobedience. I was bullied at school. My nickname in school used to be Load, L-O-A-D, as in wide load. You ever see them big trucks going down the road? They got a banner hanging across the back end, says wide load. That was my nickname. "Watch it, Load's coming down the hall, closing lockers on both sides." I said, "Dad, am I fat?" "No, buddy, you're just big boned." I was a chunky little monster. That's being polite. And you know what? People say things and people do things. And when they say things and they do things, we don't want to love them. We want to kick them. Maybe there is that neighbor. Why can't they mow their lawn and keep it manicured? Always throwing their trash on my side of the yard. I'll litter their trash. Maybe it's a cubicle worker. "That guy stinks. Doesn't he know about deodorant?" You know, love, it's a funny thing. You'll cut 10 people off to get out of Walmart. Look for the quickest checkout line. You see people been standing there, but you go, "No way, man." I'm like, "Wah!" It's funny how we don't love people. Wife and I are out to eat. I love going out to eat with my wife. "Honey, what are you going to have?" "Oh, I don't know, something small, something light." "I think I'll get the scallops." Me, I look at the menu, I look for the biggest hunking piece of meat. I want it mooing on the plate. She'll get her four scallops, I'll get my 18-ounce piece of meat. She's about three-quarters of the way through. She looks at me and she says, "Is that good?" "It looks good." "You going to eat all that?"
Get away, woman. My meat. Ah, caveman. No, no. No, 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 no.
Serious. Who am I loving at that moment? Love. So selfish with my kids. I'm thankful for a wife that was patient with me in rearing our children. My wife would say, I'm going to put the kids to bed now. Remember, six kids. I'll be right down. Well, six kids, 10 minutes per kid, hour later. I'm like, what are you even doing? I've been waiting for you. We're coming right down. Got excited about that. No. Well, you know, you could join me in praying with the kids. That's a good idea. All right, kids, it's a commercial. Gather around. Lord, I pray for my kids. Amen. Go to bed now. That's my way of, you know, I'm serious. I'm just being honest with you. Who was I loving? So I have no problem loving myself. I have no problem loving those who love me. I have no problem loving those who aren't bad to me. But what about loving those that are my enemies? You see, we love others in obedience to God's command. Husbands and wives are commanded to love each other. Loving your family is a learning process that takes time and patience. Are you really loving them? Loving others, it's just not an option. I want to kind of wrap this up with one passage of Scripture. We started there in our worship hour. The book of Romans, go back there. Romans chapter 12. Again, all I'm doing is building upon God's word. Romans chapter 12. I want to start at verse 1. I want to read what we read earlier, and then I want to jump down for a moment. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. It's exactly what Jesus did. It's acceptable to God, and this is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Jump down to verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. One word that you and I know has been used for years to describe individuals within the church is this thing called hypocrisy. You're a hypocrite. You're better at preaching it than living it. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints. That's what we were talking about in the worship hour. Practicing hospitality, verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. And I know that there could be those sitting here tonight, Ryan, you don't understand, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've experienced in my life. You wouldn't tell me to love that person. You're right, I may not be able to empathize with you. I would endeavor to try to sympathize. Sympathy is different than empathy. Empathy is, I've been there, I know how you feel, the same things happen to me. Sympathy is just, man, I feel for you. I would want you to recognize that even though you're not at that place, you would endeavor to get to that place because God's Spirit dwells within you. Scripture goes on to say, bless those, verse 14, who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, means you do everything within your capacity to be able to love that person, even if that person is unwilling to love you. Be at peace with all men. Verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. See, you have the ability to quench the thirst as your thirst has been quenched by the lover of your soul. Give him a drink, for in doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. You like that part, some of you. You're like, yeah! You have to understand it in the context. That's not a negative thing. You have to go back to the historical meaning that goes along with that. Verse 29, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, loving your enemy through the avenue of forgiveness causes us to look more like Christ. While we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. So between you and God right now, what type of lover are you? I close with this passage of Scripture. It's found in Corinthians. It's the love passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's on the screen behind me, verses 4 through 7. It says this, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with truth. You see, our love for others is demonstrated by our words, by our attitude, and by our actions. So a little exercise as we close. I want to take this passage of Scripture and I want to remove the word love and I want to read it with your name. How you doing? So follow behind me and I'll insert my name. Ryan is patient and kind. You would put your name. Ryan does not envy or boast. Ryan is not arrogant or rude. Ryan does not insist on his own way. Ryan is not irritable or resentful. Ryan does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Now, note, it says right there on a scale of 1 to 10, rate how well you love others. I'm going to tell you right now, reading it, I surely don't rate a 10. And I would probably, even thinking more highly of myself, want to say that I'm maybe a 7. Okay, I'll give myself a notch down, a 6. But even if I were a 7, even if I were an 8, God's going to test me with the next person he puts in my life. Thinking more highly of myself than I ought to. When revival comes, we're lovers. We love the lost. We love the brethren. We love our family. We love our mate. We love our children. We love our enemy. Love. So an action point for you to ponder tonight and take through the day tomorrow would simply be this. Would you be willing to pray, Lord, help me demonstrate the love of Jesus to the people that are around me. All I've done was brought you the Word of God tonight, people. Aren't you thankful for God's Word? The simple reminder that we need to reorient us. Oh, how He loves me. And oh, how He loves you. Let's pray. Father, I know that we need Your help in this area. I pray, God, that as we looked at Your Word last night and we were reminded that Your Spirit dwells within us, that, God, we have this capacity that goes beyond us. And so would You help us reflect Your goodness, Your kindness, Your mercy, Your compassion, Your love to others? Would You help us, Lord, to embrace Your love? That when we are not being loved in a right way, Lord, Your love still abounds. And we can find rest in Your love and comfort in Your love and satisfaction in Your love, fulfillment in Your love. We can actually, according to Your Word, experience an intimacy that is a little bit of heaven here on earth. And Lord, that's so foreign to us. So please, Father, help us grab hold of this concept. Lord, may we be Your church and go out of here tonight in love. And here's the thing that I'm a little concerned with, God. I honestly believe You're going to test me in this in my own life. You're going to test us. So when the test comes, God, would You help us pass it? And would it be evident that Faith Baptist Church is experiencing renewed intimacy with You called revival? That people will look at this congregation in the course of the day tomorrow where it is scattered throughout this region, and they would say, what's going on with you? Your countenance is different. Your words are different. Your actions, your attitude's different. And we would be able to share the love of Christ like a Martin did with me. Thank You, God. Can you just thank God tonight for yourself? Can you just in this moment say, God, help me demonstrate Your love? We give You praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.